no escape.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest.
Right. Another name you might know me by.
Star.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You'll be hearing from us.
From the Strategic Homeland.
Just call us SHIELD.
Beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
And here we go.
Excelsior!
Ooh, Stan Lee, you the man. BJ also the man. This is Big Rich.
I try.
Yeah, he tried. This is The Geek Show. We are episode 38.
Yes, sir.
We've been gone a couple weeks, but that's okay. We're back.
Being an adult is hard.
It is. Hopefully, you've been keeping yourself occupied by going to xshockalbanyny.com.
Yeah.
Reading some of the stories we've been posting, maybe listening to some of the older episodes, staying up to date on what we're talking about, you know, following us on Twitter, xshockalbanyny, our Facebook page, and all that good stuff.
We'll finally be back to the, I was back last week with the Tuesday Night Tweets because SHIELD was back.
Yep.
But we'll be back even more because Flash is back this week.
Flash and Arrow will be back.
Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know what? It's funny. I was, what was I doing? Last Thursday night, I wasn't at home, so I didn't get a chance to watch the latest Legends of Tomorrow. So I'll have to
catch that up. I'm actually behind behind on Legends of Tomorrow, SHIELD. And Supergirl as of right now. I've got the episodes saved.
I will tell you, last night Supergirl was it was great. I thought it was really good.
I've seen the previews and based on that, it looked really good.
Yeah.
And you know, Benoit.
Melissa Benoist
Melissa Benoist. I never know how to pronounce it.
There's an S in there.
See, when we were still in radio, we actually had pronunciation guides, so we wouldn't do this kind of thing.
We're all on our own now.
This is podcast. We have nothing.
We got nothing but Wikipedia.
That's basically it. But still, I mean, you see, you're like going to a club and
it was an
sexy clothes.
It was you'll get a kick out of it. It's a pretty cool episode.
Supergirl is doable. Yeah. There you go. That's all
just,
you need to know.
You know, it's funny. I just said to my wife as we're watching one of the episodes at some point that she had like this, you know, this cardigan and sweater on and this shirt and this little tiny plaid skirt. And I said, why does she dress like that? I said, she looks like she's about to step in and do a scene for like a schoolgirl
like
porno.
Like Mad Men or something like that. She's going to be, you know.
Yeah. Well, she dresses I'm fine with the old school dressing, but it's when she dresses very, very provocatively that I'm just like, I don't know the point of you
dressing
like that right now, but
yeah,
I guess go ahead. You look good. I mean, the workouts that this actress does for Supergirl, she said is insane because it's all like, you know, she's on, wires and stuff like that for the flying.
So she's got to have like her core is
got to
be
really,
really tight and everything.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
When was your core worked out last, Rich?
1 year is it? 1990 something. Back when 1986 when I took weightlifting every chance I could instead of for gym class.
Yeah.
All right, guys, you have a choice: either the weight room or you can go play flag football. Weight room.
Weight room.
That's what I did. That's all I did. Because me and my my best friend, Bronson, his brother was into weightlifting and he had a gym in their garage and everything. I would go over and I was reading like Men's Fitness and all that kind of stuff. And I was weightlifting. I was drinking protein drinks and that kind of stuff. I didn't see myself really losing a lot of weight, but people were starting to notice. Hey, Rich, your shoulders are pretty wide and you're arms are getting pretty beefed up. I'm like, really? I never noticed. So,
well, it's hard to notice that kind of stuff on yourself.
Well, yeah, when you have fat.
You see yourself every day.
Yeah.
So you're not noticing the changes that are happening.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I still kind of look like the way I look now with belly and all that. The dad bod before it was dad bod.
The dad bod.
So
you were rocking the dad bod.
I was rocking the dad bod back in high school, yet I wasn't a dad. So there you go.
You were just getting ready.
Yeah, I was ahead of my time. I was a hipster. I was the hipster before hipsters.
Right.
So I was the alpha hipster.
You were. Everybody else is studying for the SATs and all this other stuff, and you're like, no, man, I'm really preparing for my future.
Man, I'm gonna be the hipster before everybody else is. That's why.
So. Oh man, this is a pretty big week, by the way.
Yeah,
I just want to say because Daredevil is out on Friday.
There is that. I was going to mention you and your wife's party, but
oh yeah, that's true too. We got the big reveal.
Okay, you ready for the drum roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready. It's a boy. As far as you know, we'll 100% find out.
Yeah.
When the baby is born. When the baby's born. You know, as of right now.
Oh yeah. Oh, we got that with my oldest.
Okay. Too.
I mean, she was like, "Oh, we think it's a boy. Great, cool." And then the next, it was like, "Yeah, I don't think it's a boy." I'm like, "Oh." Okay, that's all right still.
So you're all girls then?
I'm all girls. I got four girls.
Okay.
I am so screwed.
Yeah, you are outnumbered.
But there's a special place in heaven for me.
Yeah, see, the way I'm looking at it is I just even the odds because right now it's my wife and the cat. The cat is also a female.
That's right.
So I just even things out a little bit.
But, I mean, there's as a dad and from seeing the experience that other dads with boys have had, I'm going to warn you now.
Yeah.
It's going to go easy on you.
Oh, probably.
With this boy. Vera, she's going to be bald by the time he's 6 months old. Yeah. Well, actually, more like when he's two.
Yeah.
With the way boys are rambunctious.
Well, and we have experience. So.
Yeah. I mean, and you should. Yeah. I mean, and you know, guys, you know, who have boys, they're like, yeah, he's just a boy. He's just working off some energy. Just let him beat up the cat. That's fine. Magellan is going to basically find new places to hide.
See, that the cat, though, isn't going to take anything from no baby.
Probably not.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But she's, you know, it's Vera's whole envision for that is that the cat and the baby become best friends and there's some sitcom written about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's... Well, I'm sure Magellan will be cool with it, once he gets used to the baby and all that. But I'm going to tell Vera, if you're listening, I'm warning you right now, make sure you have a bunch of mommy's little helpers handy.
Yeah.
Whether it's beer, whether it's wine, whether it's a wine cooler, I don't know. Make sure you have some handy.
It'll probably be a nice chilled bottle of Riesling.
And children's Tylenol or Benadryl is your best friend sometimes.
Right.
Well, not really all the time, but you know.
No, is your dog protective of your baby?
Bolivar is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, it's normal. But, I mean, the other, because, I mean, we put Catherine on the floor for tummy time or whatever, or we just sit her down on the floor so she can, you know, start getting into the crawl mood there. Bolivar will just basically come up and plop right down next to her. And he's really good because she's, like, grabbing. She's 10 months, so he's doing the whole grabbing and pulling and hitting and that kind of thing. And Bolivar's very, very tolerant of that, especially if she's on the couch with us.
Yeah.
We'll sit her on the couch next to us. And if Bolivar comes up or is already there, and we'll tell Catherine, you know, be gentle, you know, she'll grab the dog. But Bolivar is very, very tolerant. If he feels like he's getting the raw end of the day, he'll just get up and move. He doesn't care.
Well, there you go. Well, you're doing something right.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that kind of freaked me.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't really freak me. So we went over to our friend's house. They have a cat.
Okay.
First time Catherine had ever seen a cat.
All right.
So she's freaking out like, I don't like this. I don't like cats. And she's always been around a dog.
Right.
So there you go. Raise them right.
Hey, I like my cat.
Cats are okay. They're very indifferent.
Well, they'd rather
poop than throw you a lifesaver. But, you know,
whatever. See, my cat is weird, though. My cat is very needy. She's not...
Likes the head scratches.
Wants to be next to us or in the same room as us no matter where we go. Like if we're in the living room watching television, the cat sits there.
Yeah.
If we get up and say, you know, we go and, you know, oh, let's switch this load of laundry out or something like that. So we'll get up and we'll go to the other room where the laundry is. Cat wanders over, pops down on the ground.
Gotta be there.
Like, gotta be in the room.
See how that works when Vera's starting to show and the baby's moving.
Right.
So.
Gotta be next to Vera.
Gotta be next
at all times.
All right. Well, So enough about the baby stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've gotten ourselves caught up. Let's get to what we're really here about.
Yeah. But
Daredevil.
Well, and more than that too.
Yeah.
But
so much.
This week, Daredevil is out on Friday.
Yep.
And they just released another final trailer for it.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see that one.
That's up. If you check out the show notes for episode 38 at xjackalbanyny.com. You can check That latest trailer out. You can also watch trailer for.
I'm looking at the notes. Stick is back.
Stick is back.
Awesome.
So in this new trailer, you see a lot more, you know, going into it, because that last trailer we got was very Punisher.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Very, very, very Frank Castle centered.
So I think what's, you know, going to happen in this show is that, you know, you get in the beginning of it and Daredevil is doing his thing and in comes enters Frank Castle.
Right.
So for the first few episodes, it's Daredevil and Frank Castle, you know, divided on how things need to be handled, because right. Frank Castle is permanent justice.
Yeah.
Daredevil is the justice system.
Right.
So I think that's what you get for that. And then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, because, I mean, you see Daredevil and, you know, he's with Elektra.
Yeah.
Elektra's fighting in this new one. She tells him, you know, that she's, you know, out to do her own thing. And if, you know, he gets in the way, then she'll have to kill him. Yeah. And then she kisses him. So, you know,
there you go.
Dissect that relationship throughout the years in the comics and everything.
Go figure.
I know. Right. Yeah. Right. But yeah, I mean, you see Punisher gearing up, and one of the lines in it is a war is coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of see all these ancient symbols.
Yeah.
And there's the giant pit that is, like, prevalent in a lot of these Daredevil things now, which I think is going to have a lot to do with the hand.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be very much Daredevil's going to have to find these people to help him that he maybe doesn't agree with.
Yeah.
Being Elektra and Punisher. And they're going to do battle with the hand. The rest of the season ends up with battling the hand. And that's where I think we get more of an introduction into Iron Fist. Yeah. Who was cast, by the way.
Yes, who was cast. I'm wondering if we're going to also maybe get some glimpse into, because I know Marvel has been, you know, really adamant about having everything kind of pull into each other.
Yeah.
We had S.H.I.E.L.D. go into, like, Avengers,
mm-hmm.
Or Captain America Winter Soldier, I should say.
I have a quick note on that when you're done.
And,
with the call, by the way.
And, you know, and also, of course, you know, the other Marvel properties in mm-hmm. regards to, Jessica Jones and Daredevil and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Recurring characters and mentioning characters and that kind of stuff. So, but there was, this was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a theory posted somebody had talked about online, and I had posted it at XJock. If you do a search for Microchip, Frank Castle's tech guy,
mm-hmm.
Micro, supposedly Daisy, back then Sky,
mm-hmm.
on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think we're going all the way back to season one.
We're going back to season one, yeah. Somebody made the call that she was talking about Microchip, Frank Castle's friend. So I'm wondering if, because now we have the Punisher here,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to maybe hear about Micro and maybe just a quick little thing about maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, my buddy Micro has a friend who works for the government, that kind of thing. We'll see how that works out.
We've yet to see them tie together.
Right, because I like those little things like that.
Yeah, Easter eggs are fun.
Yeah, it's not this big overbearing thing. It's just this little thing that says, these are connected. It's all the same universe. I like that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Doesn't have to be over-connected, but it's nice when it all ties together.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying I would love it if, this newer kind of badass
mm-hmm.
Phil Coulson were to show up in this Netflix universe to kind of bring the Defenders together.
Yeah.
I think that would work really well, because it's not going to be Nick Fury or anybody like that, and I don't think they're going to just all of a sudden get together on their own.
Yeah.
So
got to be some kind of catalyst.
Exactly.
And maybe it will be Phil that...
Just a quick crossover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be... He doesn't have to be there permanently.
Right. Exactly.
But he could be... I mean, you know, he's assembling, trying to put S.H.I.E.L.D. back together on S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to get things together with, the new warriors or secret warriors that we've been promised.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. But
you
got to check that new trailer out.
Yeah.
It is posted up at xjockalbanyny.com, but there's a lot more going on in it, and I am going to be strapped in this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll binge the entire thing. I'm going to try to.
Right.
I'm really going to try to, but I don't think I'll be able to binge the entire thing this weekend, but I'm going to watch as much of it as I can, for sure.
I'm definitely going to go and watch that trailer a couple times myself. So
I got a little bit of breaking news for you. It was just released today.
Yeah,
you know.
Today is Monday the 15th.
Today is Monday the 15th.
The day after Pi Day.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any pie?
I did not.
I didn't have any pie either. I really dropped the ball on
that
Pi Day.
That sucks.
But one year we went to Grandma's Pies, and bought like three of them and went to my mom's house, and we all just had a big pie festival.
Obviously, our geek and nerd cred is taking a hit here.
It really is.
We got to work on that.
All right. We could have lied.
We could have, but we're honest.
Yeah. anyway, so the big news today is that Disney has announced that there will be a fifth Indiana Jones movie.
Boom, the other shoe drops.
Right, exactly. And it's not something that is totally shocking, because there were a lot of rumors early on that Harrison Ford came back for Star Wars because he wanted to do more Indiana Jones.
That was the carrot that got him back into Star Wars. That and probably the fact that they said, we're going to kill Han.
Yeah.
If you come back, we're going to kill Han, and to say thank you, we're going to do another Indiana Jones.
The next Indiana Jones has to be, I mean, obviously with Crystal Skull, they tried to do a passing of the torch type thing.
And it didn't work out.
No, so because Crystal Skull was absolutely horrendous.
Right. I'm sure they probably recast Mutt's part, I hope.
Or they're just going in a totally different direction.
Or they could, yeah.
You know?
Pass the hat to somebody else, to a student maybe.
Indiana Jones Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, very uncreative.
Yeah, because Mutt was just Shia LaBeouf. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things that I've seen him in that he's really good. Like,
Just do it, Disney.
He was great in that movie Fury. And also in that was John Bernthal.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a Brad Pitt movie and everything. Yeah. And he was fantastic in it. But then some things he's in, it's just like, it's too much. Like Transformers, it's just all over the top.
He's just,
nonsense. But
I mean, and he's done performance art pieces.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Where was it? He set up like a storefront somewhere and invited a bunch of people off the street to come in, just sit across a table from him.
Mm-hmm.
And they just looked at each other, and people were like, what?
And he live streamed himself watching all of his own movies earlier this year. And most recently, he just set a webcam up in an elevator that he rode up and down for 24 hours before giving a speech at some art school in England.
What?
So, I mean, yeah, he's a little out there right now.
He's avant-garde out there.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with
that. All right.
Well. But yeah, the release date for that new Indiana Jones, all we really know on it, is that it's July 19th, 2019. At that point in time, Harrison Ford will be 77 and hopefully still alive. I mean,
he survived.
When you start getting up there.
The Millennium Falcon tried to eat him.
Right.
His plane tried to kill him.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that Harrison Ford isn't, I mean, 77 isn't as old as it used to be. I mean, like back when we were kids, you said somebody was 77, you were like, oh my God.
God, that dude. So old.
You know what I mean? Like now 77, I mean, people are living way, way older than that at this point. You know, another 20-something years. Yeah. So
I don't think Harrison's going to be doing his own stunts.
I hope not.
But, I mean, I can't wait to start seeing a little bit more.
He broke bones filming Star Wars, didn't he?
Yeah. So. Broke his leg. Broke his leg, and then he walked away without a scratch when he crashed his plane.
Yeah, I know. He just got up and was like, I'm good.
I'm good.
Just a little accident here.
I'm good. And just off he goes. So.
But speaking of Disney and Harrison Ford and everything, why don't we touch on Star Wars Rebels right now?
Oh God, yes. Oh my God.
Now I had said previously that I kind of wanted them to pick up the pace on this show.
Yeah,
and they did.
They heard you.
Yeah, they did. They were like, "All right, cool. We're gonna stop this nonsense and giving you these little dumb stories, and we're gonna pick it up."
We're in the backside of season two.
Yeah,
and if you remember from the mid-season trailer, a lot of action happening. So now they've gotten the little stuff out of the way.
Yeah,
now we're set up, baby. Because now, if you think about it, we're going to find out more about the hilted lightsaber because they've already touched on Malachor.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched the show, spoilers. They've touched on Malachor, where that type of lightsaber is from. And I read up on it on Wikipedia way back during the Mandalorian Wars. And then there's Darth Maul. We still have not seen.
We haven't seen him, no. I really would like to.
But we are going to. And also, the pace started picking up in Shroud of Darkness this past episode because they've revealed the identity of the Grand Inquisitor who died at the end of season one.
Now, that was interesting to me.
Yes.
To see that. You know, if you aren't caught up on this show, spoiler territory here, but like Ezra and Kanan and Ahsoka go to a Jedi temple on Ezra's home planet, right?
Lothal. They go back to Lothal to the Jedi Temple, which they showed off in season one,
right?
Before they had to get off the planet,
mm-hmm.
And basically, the problem has been everywhere that Ezra and Kanan go to find for a base for the rebellion, Inquisitors show up.
Right.
The seventh sister and fifth brother.
Yeah.
Always showing up all over the place. And each time it's always a close call. So finally, Kanan decides, you know, we got to do something. We got to change this up. It's time to get some advice. So what they do is they have Ahsoka meet them out in deep, away from the fleet, because they know something's happening. It's kind of dangerous to be around the fleet. Otherwise, they're jeopardizing the fleet. So Hera and Zeb and Sabine and all that bring Hera in the ghost out to meet Kanan and Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide, yep, it's time to go get some answers.
Yeah.
Get some advice from Master Yoda.
Right.
So they go back to the temple on Lothal, and they find a whole new entrance as they're trying to open it. And when they go in, they start meditating, because that's how they got, that's how they contacted.
So you get the Jedi juice flowing.
Yeah. Get the force flowing through the veins,
Dave. Right, exactly.
So essentially what ends up happening is the temple splits them all up. Kanan goes through a door that only he can see. Ezra kind of disappears and has a conversation through the Force with Master Yoda. And then Ahsoka,
mm-hmm.
something big happens with her.
Right. Well, let's talk about Kanan.
Let's talk about Kanan first. So Kanan goes through this door that only he can see,
mm-hmm.
That the Force has shown him, and ends up in basically a practice room where there is a Jedi temple guard.
Yeah. Now, the temple guards, are they Jedis?
They are Jedi. They
right?
are a group of Jedi that are highly, highly trained
right.
with the use of the double-bladed sabers.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole job is the protection of the temple. So basically, they are just as skilled as if not more skilled than Obi-Wan and all the other Jedi we've seen go out into the galaxy. So essentially, Kanan comes in, sees the temple guard, and says, I've come seeking knowledge on how to defeat Vader and his Inquisitors. Temple Guard totally blows that question off and just starts in by, your Padawan is being pulled by the dark side, and he will turn, and he will destroy the rebellion. He must be stopped before he does this.
Isn't that interesting that we had talked about this before,
mm-hmm.
and how we would both be interested to see if they went down a dark path with Ezra.
Right.
Because we don't really know any of his story, to be honest. We don't know what the future has for that.
Exactly.
I mean, clearly we know how things work out.
But. Right. So anyway, so Kanan says, nope, not going to happen on my watch. And he and the Temple Guard start fighting. Temple Guard has him on his heels for most of the battle. At one point, Kanan reaches back, because there's all these lightsabers on the wall, to grab a lightsaber. It looks like he's going for one of the double-bladed ones, and mm-hmm. then he ends up grabbing a single-blade one, but it's a red lightsaber.
Yeah.
Which I think is very symbolic of the whole situation that they're in right there. So they are duking it out, that kind of thing, and finally Kanan comes to the realization, look, I can't protect my apprentice forever, but all I can do is teach him to be the best Jedi that I can be and what he can be.
There seems to be, besides Luke, there mm-hmm. seems to be an overwhelming theme of taking on Padawans that are a little older than they would normally like to be.
Right.
That have pull to the dark side.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, by that age, yeah. I mean, but back then with the Jedi Temple,
mm-hmm.
you had all these Jedi. You had Master Yoda. You had Master Windu. All these, you know, masters able to basically protect these Padawans before they're going out and to teach them the right from wrong. Now, you've got these older Padawans that they've pretty much been on their own for a while because right. there's no masters to guide them. Because
Kanan is not a full-on Jedi Knight, is he? Because he was a...
Well, that's where we come to the end right? of that part of the story.
Oh, right, yeah.
Duh. Where, basically, at the end, Kanan makes this revelation to the Temple Guard. Yep, I can't, you know, I can't defend him. All I can do is, you know, teach him the best that I can. So basically, the guard looks like he's going to strike him down, ends up knighting Kanan
yeah.
as a Knight of the Jedi Order. At that point, Kanan rises and says, what does this mean? And the temple guard takes his mask off and says, "It means you are who I once was." And as he turns around, it's the Grand Inquisitor.
Which is so weird to me. Like, we need to get more explanation on that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
If you watch Rebels Recon, the little YouTube podcast that Lucasfilm puts out after each episode of Rebels, they actually, a couple episodes back, Pablo Hidalgo and Dave Filoni actually expanded on that, saying that we've seen the Inquisitor before in Clone Wars. And everybody's like, we have. So technically, yes, we have.
Just never saw him unmasked.
We just never saw him unmasked because he's a temple guard. We've seen temple guards in Clone Wars, so we've seen him in there somewhere.
So what changed him?
That's the other question that they say that we'll probably get more into as the series goes on. Somehow, I mean, there's one podcaster on YouTube, Dash Star, who has said he thinks, you know, his main theory is Palpatine somehow managed to turn the Temple Guards somewhere along the way. That's why you never saw any Temple Guards in Revenge of the Sith when they ended up marching into the temple, Anakin or Vader at that point, and the clone troopers that have already turned. You didn't see any clone guards, temple guards. All you saw were dead Padawans and Jedi.
That's true.
So that's his theory anyway.
Right.
But I'm sure we'll find out more as we go how he was turned. As for the other Inquisitors, we don't know if they were Padawans that were turned or what the deal is.
Something.
Or even maybe a couple other Inquisitors were temple guards that have been turned or something along those lines.
Right. You know, maybe the Inquisitors or something like that have a similar background story to like the Knights of Ren, where there are can only be two Sith or something like that.
Right.
It doesn't say there can't be like an army of darkness.
Right. But they've always said the Inquisitors are not Sith.
Exactly. They aren't Sith.
They're not Sith.
Just like the Knights of Ren are not Sith.
Exactly.
Kylo Ren is not Sith.
Yeah, he's
for people who know.
Right.
I got to meet him, so.
Yeah, there you go. I should know. He's got pictures on Facebook. He's got proof. All right.
So, dude, I nerded out so hard when that happened, by the way. I walked up, Vera was like, "You got such a grin on your face and everything." And he's standing there all in that Kylo Ren outfit. Yeah. Okay, I went to Disney. I went to Hollywood Studios. Everybody, that's why I'm saying this. But he raises his hand and he looks at me and he goes, "Come here." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll go over there."
Yeah, baby.
Come on.
Yeah.
Me and a bunch of kids.
Oh, that's
it's fine.
I can't wait till I can go. That's gonna be awesome.
Oh, start saving, man.
Yeah.
We got free passes for something that we ended up doing, so that's the only reason we went, because there's no damn way we're flying Disney.
Yeah, it's expensive shit.
$100 a day.
Yeah.
That's a lot. For you?
Yeah.
You're looking at, what, $400 when you go?
Yeah.
$400?
Well, more like $300.
Oh, okay.
Because Catherine, you know. Yeah. Well, unless, you know. Until
I don't know what they charge for babies.
I don't know.
Well, I assumed that you would be going later.
Yeah, probably. But it's going to be more expensive. It. Yeah.
And then by the time you get there, Star Wars Land will be complete, because that will be complete by 2018.
Yes.
All right. Back to Star Wars.
Okay. So that's Kanan's part of the story. Ezra's part of the story is basically he talks to Master Yoda. And this time he sees Master Yoda because his abilities with the Force have grown. He can now see him. And Yoda can see him as Ezra. And they're talking about how to try to defeat Vader and the Inquisitors. And Yoda expands on how the Jedi were so easily defeated in during the Clone Wars. Basically, they were blinded by the dark side because the Jedi were arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
They were fearful. They were quick to join the war, to fight. They were, that kind of thing. So basically, they went toward, basically, everything that they were supposed to avoid to turn to the dark side, they went that way. They didn't turn, but they ended up being clouded. Their vision was clouded. They couldn't see what was going on. And that's how the Jedi were so easily defeated during the Clone Wars and in Revenge of the Sith and that.
And that's why we've been saying, if anybody who has like questions like this, I mean, you should be watching this show.
Exactly.
Because
this is all canon stuff. This is filling in a lot of those little nooks and crannies of the story that people just kind of want to know about.
Right.
If you're not watching... If you didn't watch Clone Wars, or you're not watching Rebels because you think it's just a kid's show, it's animated. No, this, I mean, they're animated, but I mean, these stories,
yeah,
they're for adults.
No, and they fit right in with everything that you love about Star Wars.
Yeah,
so.
they continue that story and everything. So, but anyway, and Yoda says even he was afraid during the Clone Wars. So that's how he was even clouded by the dark side. His vision was clouded by the dark side. So, long story short, the Inquisitors, the seventh sister and the fifth brother, they find the temple. They track them to Lothal, find the temple. Right. They use the dark side of the Force to open up the temple. And, you know, the whole temple is shaking. What's going on? The enemy has found you. And okay, got to get out. But, you know, Ezra's like, well, what do we do? And Yoda says, find Malachor.
Right.
He's like, what's Malachor? And then that's the end of Yoda.
Oh,
he's
of gone. Course.
He's yeah.
Can't be an answer right there.
Can't be an answer.
There's already
right there.
So much revealed.
Right. So Ezra's got his information. Kanan's got his information. Now we go to Ahsoka.
Right.
So Ahsoka, Ezra has disappeared from sight. Kanan has disappeared from sight. Ahsoka's left there. So what does she do? She just continues meditating, maybe hoping to talk to Master Yoda as well or what have you. But what ends up happening is she makes a connection with Anakin through the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Anakin basically asks Ahsoka, where were you when I needed you? You left me. You were selfish. Do you know what I become? And basically, the big reveal, Ahsoka now knows Anakin is Darth Vader, has turned to the dark side,
right,
and is the Sith Lord that she's been trying to get more information about. So basically, Anakin drops this bomb on Ahsoka, and Ahsoka is just so, it's one of those things that just basically, she starts crying, essentially, for what she has just discovered. And then, of course, she starts noticing, hey, the building's shaking, time to get the hell out. So they do, make their escape out. The Grand Inquisitor, you know, the Temple Guard, basically tells Kanan, okay, you're a knight now, get out, the enemy's coming, I will hold them off as long as I can. So basically him and a whole bunch of other temple guards who were also there.
Right.
More like force. I think there were more like force spirits or visions.
Yeah, because there's no way he was there. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
You know?
So the temple was obviously kind of like how Qui-Gon does it or something. The temple was allowing the Inquisitor to essentially come back. And now he's doing his duty as a temple guard, protecting the temple, helping the newly knighted Kanan Jarrus, Jedi Knight, with his Padawan, and Ahsoka, who is not a Jedi, because she left the Order, escape.
Right.
Get to the end, Darth Vader shows up and is very pleased with his Inquisitors for finding the temple. And basically, Vader's now one step closer to finding Ahsoka.
Right.
So it's all heading towards Vader versus Ahsoka this season. They've already said, we're going to see something like that. Whether or not Ahsoka lives, that's the question.
Right. But I know that you would like her to, but...
I would like her to be able to go through the series a little bit more and then have a final confrontation. Mm-hmm. But there was even a mention, Ahsoka mentioned that the last time she saw her master, Anakin, was just before he was rushing off to save the Chancellor. So just before the events of Revenge of the Sith, Ahsoka had talked to Anakin.
Right.
Before he had turned.
Right.
So,
and where and when. So somewhere on Coruscant.
Somewhere probably on Coruscant. Yeah. But they've expounded on that. So there's probably going to be... They wouldn't say it unless they planned on maybe expanding a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that also brings Ahsoka into the timeline of the movies, kind of. I mean, kind of like what they did with Leia I don't remember what planet it was, but the episode where we saw Princess Leia meeting Ezra and all that here. It was on Lothal. That's right.
Everything is.
Right. So basically folding in the older characters with Rebels, making it all one continuous story.
Yeah.
They've actually, you know, some of them have interacted with others. So
the world is a big place. There's a lot of...
The galaxy is a big place.
Right. There's a lot of ways for people to fit in, and, you know, one story doesn't exactly lead to another story, and, you know, the whole thing.
Yep. So if you are not watching Rebels, if you haven't watched Clone Wars, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Right. Get on the Rebels thing, especially. You know, Clone Wars is there. It's on Netflix. You can binge it.
But all six seasons.
You've got to catch up on Rebels because, you know, we don't know. Like, everything that happened in Star Wars The Force Awakens, there could be some sort of snowball effect that we haven't seen on Rebels yet.
I mean, they've said online, Lucasfilm and that, things do kind of click into. You see some things.
Right.
You know, that click into it. It's not going to be an overt thing, but sooner or later, they are going to click into not only The Force Awakens, but episodes 8 and 9 as well.
Well, let's try and get a new theory trending about Snoke, that Ezra is Snoke.
I have been thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know, I have been thinking about that.
And I mean, he could, it could be at this point, but, it doesn't make sense because Ezra doesn't have an accent or anything like that.
He doesn't. There would have to be something crazy. Although Snoke's stuff on the side of his face is kind of where Ezra's scars are, but I mean, it's not like, I don't know, but
it would be crazy if they took a teenage character from a Disney cartoon show and incorporated it as this gigantic, source of evil.
Yes.
In the Star Wars universe, but
we'll see how it goes.
Quick note, just real quick. Todd McFarlane put out a little Facebook video yesterday for those of you who follow him on Facebook. And he basically announced that he has an entire script written for an R-rated Spawn movie. You know, we had a Spawn movie in the late 90s.
Yeah, and it wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't great. It was, it was. I don't know. It exists.
John Leguizamo played Clown.
Right, exactly. Man. But he's working on a new Spawn script, and he says he has it done. It's about 132 pages. But the movie, it's not in production yet.
Right.
But he's right where he wants to be. And studios like it when you're writing scripts, is what he said. So.
Yep. So I guess he's probably going to shop it around.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens.
See where it ends.
I wouldn't mind seeing Spawn back in the movie theaters too. I think if Deadpool's taught us anything, is that people will go see an R-rated comic book movie.
Oh yeah.
You know, Spawn is basically Image's, besides The Walking Dead, is probably, Image Comics, greatest creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure that other comic fans will argue with me about that, but I mean, face the fact, Spawn has been around for a very long time, and Todd McFarlane.
Oh yeah.
Besides the awesome stuff that he did with Marvel, I mean, Todd McFarlane, he drew my favorite version of Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
Personally.
I was a big McFarlane fan. I had his whole run,
yeah.
Of Amazing Spider-Man. I had it all. Mm-hmm. It was issues. I think it was like 296 through 315 or something like that.
He had the big Spider-Man eyes,
which is what you see on the costumes nowadays.
Yeah,
the bigger eyes and that.
Yeah. So. All right. So I think that's all like the main stuff that we wanted to get to before we got into this, which is the fact that. We were very excited last week.
Oh, God.
When the new Captain America Civil War trailer dropped because, we hadn't had
What's that?
We got the big reveal, Spider-Man.
What are you seeing on my desktop right now?
It's the same thing as my Facebook cover photo.
There you go. Spider-Man with Cap's shield.
So, I mean, we saw a little bit more of what's going on with Captain America Civil War. We got a look at Scarlet Witch versus Vision.
Yeah.
My second favorite moment of that trailer was Hawkeye shooting his arrow and Ant-Man riding on the tip.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That was good. And obviously, my favorite moment of the trailer was when Tony Stark yells, "Underoos!"
Yeah.
And then you see Thwip and Cap shield goes up, his hands get webbed, and you see a guy do a flip through the air, land, and there's...
Superhero landing.
Right. Superhero landing. Spider-Man holding Cap shield, and he just goes, "Hey, everybody." You know what I mean? And, there's some debate now whether or not Spider-Man was breaking the fourth wall or not there. I don't think he was.
No.
I think
it was just the way the script, you saying, "Hey, everybody," to who's there, the big reveal. Right. But it was obviously also intended for...
That moment right there, I don't think that moment... is the first time that we see Spider-Man in the movie. I think that Tom Holland's Peter Parker gets introduced earlier on. Mm-hmm. There was a scene in the trailer where Captain America was talking, and it looked to be in a regular kitchen. And a lot of people are under the impression that that is Aunt May's kitchen. and he's talking to Peter Parker. And that's why he says, hey, everybody. You know, almost like reintroducing himself.
Right.
So, you know, the way I think it plays out is it's very similar but almost like backwards style from the Civil War comic book where Cap goes to Spider-Man and then Tony goes to Spider-Man where a lot of people are speculating where he got this suit.
Right.
Not that it's a super suit. It's not the Iron Spider or anything right. like that. But maybe we'll see that. But I don't hate his suit. I think no, it looks great.
I think it's fine. I think it's awesome looking. Right. It's very, I know a lot of people were kind of bitching about the eyes.
Well, they did the same thing for his eyes as they did with Deadpool. They CGI'd the eyes.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, when a character wears a mask like that, you know,
yeah.
you don't get to see a lot of emotion out of them.
Right.
But if you can animate the eyes, I mean, half of Deadpool's acting, he right. had a mask on.
Well, the prevailing theory I heard from somebody was that Stark gave him the suit, but mm-hmm. the eyes are also lenses that are controlled, you know, focus, zoom, that kind of thing.
Well, that would make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, because you hear some kind of mechanical thing when his eyes kind of zero in on things
right.
in that short clip of the video. Mm-hmm. So, and it's very Steve Ditko-ish.
It is.
The costume is very reminiscent of kind of Alex Ross as well, who takes from Ditko.
It's a classic clean Spider-Man. Yep. I dig it. I like it a lot. I think it's great.
It looks good. I mean, it's not the classic design, but it's still a really good
right.
And it's true to that classic design.
Now, anybody
bitching?
They need to stop.
Quit your bitching.
Just stop.
Quit your bitching.
Just knock it off because this is you know what we've been begging. We've been pleading. Mm-hmm. Get Spider-Man in the MCU. They get it in the MCU, and now you're going to be nitpicky about his damn suit? Yeah. Give me a break.
Shut up. Just
give me a break.
Let it go.
You know, I see nothing wrong with it at all. I think it looks good. My favorite Spider-Man suit from the movies was not the movies, but my favorite suit, I think, was Andrew Garfield's. I thought that they got the suit right.
Mm-hmm.
Tobey Maguire's was a little too, I don't know. I didn't really like Tobey Maguire's suit that much.
Yeah.
But this suit, you know, like you said, it's very Steve Ditko. And, yep. you know, Steve Ditko is king, man.
He is.
So, you know, you gotta give credit where credit is due. Half the characters that are in the Avengers or in the Avengers movies were created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
Yeah.
So I think you have to pay homage a little bit there.
You do. And it looks good.
Did you notice in the trailer, too, as we stay on Captain America here, at one point in time, Cap and Iron Man are fighting in an area where there seems to be somebody, like, in some sort of tube device, like, either cryo-froze or just, like, floating in, like, water, similar to, like,
how... I missed that.
All right, so there is a scene where that is happening in this new trailer. It's very quick. People have screenshot it and zoomed in on it, and it looks like Quicksilver is in that tube.
Whoa.
Not to get into spoiler territory, because Quicksilver died at the end of Age of Ultron, right. and they've said Quicksilver is dead. He's not coming back.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that possibly Tony Stark isn't trying to figure out some way to bring him back because he feels so bad about it. And I think that's where we get a lot of this Civil War storyline from, is the fact that all of this damage has been done. Scarlet Witch messed with his head in Age of Ultron and yep. showed him how there was no, like, everybody was dead.
Yeah.
There was nothing that he could do about it.
Yep.
You know, what is going to happen? What happened to that? So I think he's trying to figure out how he can best protect his team. And the best way that he sees about protecting his team is by keeping them in check.
Yep.
And everything. And Cap, you know, disagrees. He doesn't want to just, you know, let something slide if he sees something going on.
Yeah.
And that's where the two end up parting ways in this. You know, it's not Superhero Registration Act.
Right.
But it's a matter of superheroes are all of a sudden here, and, you know, as much as you're saving the day, you're doing as much damage as the bad guys would do. Exactly. You know, look at when the Hulk transforms. I mean, the damage that Bruce Banner does.
Yes.
I mean, no matter what.
Exactly. I mean, in Age of Ultron, pretty much tore up Johannesburg.
Yeah.
South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Scarlet Witch
yeah.
messed with his mind. So
I wonder if she ever apologized. to them for that, by the way.
I don't know.
I think she
well, he kind of took off, so she never really had the chance.
Now, somebody also said, because there is that clip of Scarlet Witch messing with Vision and everything, and somebody said that they saw a body on the ground that kind of looked like Hawkeye, and they were thinking that, because they're on opposing sides, that Vision may have done something to Hawkeye, you know, either a big wound or, you know, or killed him, and that's her, you know, getting all mind warpy on him because of anger or something like that. Another, you know, big question is what's going on with Rhodey, because we see that, you know, he gets blasted out of the air when him and Tony are flying, you know, into action. So, you know, is Rhodey okay? Is Rhodey going to die?
Yeah.
Because somebody is going to die at the end of Captain America. The Russo brothers have said that we're going to get an ending that is going to shake up the MCU and shake up, you know, everything. So somebody is going to die. My money is on Iron Man. I think Iron Man will die. It's going to be a flip.
You think Tony's going to die?
I do.
Rhodey's going to live, and then he's going to take over.
Yeah, that could be it. Because obviously, you know,
Rhodey was Iron Man for a while.
Right, he was. And that could be how it is. And Robert Downey Jr. has no more movies left after this on his contract. They had to negotiate to get him back for Civil War.
Because he said, basically, Captain America was his Iron Man 4.
Exactly. So, that being said, I think that Iron Man is going to bite the dust in Captain America Civil War. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to kill Steve Rogers because Chris Evans has another movie left. I think that that next movie is Infinity War Part 2.
Right.
Because I think that if my theory is correct and Iron Man dies due to events caused by Cap, I think that he hangs up the shield and either Bucky, most likely Bucky, or, you know, Sam Wilson, Falcon, pick up the shield because there has to be a Captain America. There has to be somebody there to protect people.
Right.
And I think that that's what happens because it all comes down to the fact that Cap isn't willing to sacrifice one friend, you know, for another friend almost. Yep. You know what I mean? He's not willing to sacrifice that. So, I mean, obviously in the Civil War comic books, Captain America dies. Huge Ed Brubaker story.
Yeah.
You know, the death of Captain America and everything. Crossbones kills him, and then what's-her-face, Emily Van Camp's character, Sharon Carter, is the one who delivers the death blow in that.
Right.
So I don't think they're going to do the same thing because, you know, yes, I love that story, but I wouldn't mind seeing something different.
Right.
Do something different with it. That's why my money's on Iron Man because, you know, Downey Jr. doesn't have any movies left. And
he doesn't. So.
I think at this point he's been doing it almost a decade, and maybe there is... You know, in the MCU anyway, not so much the comic books or anything, but there is a time to close out that chapter.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
And, you know, going back to Age of Ultron and his vision and being told that, you know, everybody's dead because of him.
Yeah.
You couldn't protect us, all this other stuff. Maybe it's a self-sacrifice. And that goes back to the first Avengers when Cap tells him he's not the kind of guy to lay on a grenade.
Yeah.
Or not lay on a grenade, but step on a tripwire or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To let another guy pass. And I think that's what it comes down to, is he is willing to do that. It's just taken him, you know, this long. Because, I mean, he almost did it in the first Avengers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, technically he did do it. I mean, but he managed to survive.
And that moment has been haunting him, clearly. I mean, you've seen Iron Man 3 and everything, so. But, I mean, I'm so looking forward to this movie.
This is going to be good. I mean, can't wait. I really can't.
The next, just like the next few weeks into the next month and into the following month, which is May. Next couple weeks, Daredevil, Friday, boom.
Yep.
Next week, Batman versus Superman, which I am just, wow, I am just super impressed by everything I've seen so far on this. And then a little bit of time off, we're going to get to watch Flash. We're going to watch the Supergirl Flash crossover that's going to be happening on, I believe it's the 28th.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Game of Thrones comes back.
Whoa.
So we don't need to talk about it, but let's just get excited for that a minute because we're very pumped about that. I don't know if you saw the latest trailer.
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
It's balls to the wall. You know, I love that line where tell Cersei to basically tell the zombie mountain to stand down or violence will be what is the answer.
Yeah.
And she says, I choose violence. And I'm like, yeah, she does.
Yeah.
I hate Cersei, but sometimes the lines that she delivers are just great.
She's gonna kick ass.
Right. But yeah, so that is back in April. And then in May, Captain America Civil War, and then we just ride that damn train all the way through the summer because it's going to be fantastic. There's just a lot of stuff on the way.
And then Rogue One.
Rogue One. That's December, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Rogue One, December. November is Doctor Strange. I mean, and then right after December, you know, you go into Black Panther, which we got another more look at Black Panther.
In Captain America,
I'm really excited for Black Panther.
Oh, it's a good time to be a geek.
And you've noticed that there's on Captain America's shield in some of those scenes, there's scratches on it.
Yep.
Because Black Panther can do that.
Yes.
Because he's the man.
Because he's from Wakanda and has vibranium.
If you're not familiar with Black Panther, I mean, you can go online. There's some great YouTube channels out there where you can just get a quick, Cliff Notes version of his origin and where he came from and everything. But he is one of the best characters that Marvel ever created.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. I love Wakanda. I love everything about it. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see this movie.
I'm excited.
And I'm excited to see him in Civil War first.
This is going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be really good. So, I got nothing.
Just a couple quick comic book recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
Just out this week. Nothing crazy. DC, I've been reading Superman, Coming of the Superman, issue number 2 of 6 is out. They're doing a lot of miniseries right now. Yeah. Marvel, International Iron Man by Brian Michael Bendis, number 1 is out. That's an offshoot of Invincible Iron Man. And also Princess Leia miniseries starts. That's out this week with the first issue of 6. So go check that out. The Star Wars books that Marvel's doing are out of this world.
Support your local comic book shop.
Please do.
And if you want more episodes of Geek Show, xjockalbanyny.com. And, of course, you can also find us on iTunes, Podcastpedia, Blueberry Podcasting Directory, TuneIn, Stitcher. We're all over the place.
Everywhere. We've got a big thing up your butt. You can listen to us. You fart and you hear X-Jock.
Wow. Okay. Stay geeky.